Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Mischief Theater's The Play That Goes Wrong has been doing so on Broadway since March of this year. In the play, it's opening night of the murder at Haversham Manor, where things are quickly going from bad to utterly disastrous. With an unconscious leading lady, a corpse that can't play dead, and actors who trip over everything, including their lines, this madcap romp meticulously disintegrates, and it's running at the Lyceum Theater on 45th Street. Winner of the Tony Award for Best Scenic Design of a Play, The Play That Goes Wrong is directed by Mark Bell and written by Henry Lewis, Jonathan Sayre, and Henry Shields. Lewis, Sayre, and Shields also star, and two of the actor co-creators, Henry Lewis and Jonathan Sayre, sat down with me in New York a few weeks ago. I began by asking them how they met and founded Mischief Theater.
Me and Henry met at Lambda, which is a drama school in London. That's where most of the group met. We started off as an improv company. So we used to meet every Sunday after classes and stuff, or every Saturday, and we'd just do kind of 6 or 7 hours of kind of improv and kind of throwing different ideas around together. And we had a show called Lights, Camera, Improvise, which we would take to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and we'd perform every other week on a Tuesday while we were at drama school. And we kind of used to live for this month, where we'd go to Edinburgh and we'd get to just all be together and do our show. And then when we left drama school, I think you have that inevitable kind of feeling where you feel like the floor's been whipped away and all of a sudden your sense of routine has vanished and it's harder to all kind of hang out and be together because kind of life creeps in and you're aware that you have to pay bills and rent and all this kind of stuff. And we just thought, well, you know, either we can all kind of fall into the place where I think a lot of people end up, which is, you know, you're on the audition circuit and you kind of keep trying to keep your head above water, or we can all kind of make a commitment to each other and stick to doing the work that we do. And we started to write together, and yeah, I suppose that in a nutshell.
So how does, I know there's a lot of steps and a lot of work, but then how do you create this specific show?
So this show we first wrote together when we were living together. So this was shortly after we'd graduated from Lambda, our drama school. And we wrote the show over the course of a few weeks, a month or two, and we then put it on at this pub theatre called the Old Red Lion in London, North London. And we did it there, and we did another run there. So this was sort of the end of 2012, beginning of 2013. We then did a run of it at the Trafalgar Studios small space, 100-seat theatre. So these were quite small sort of studios. And we were slowly sort of building momentum with it, and more and more people were coming and stuff. And at Trafalgar Studios, we did 14 shows a week, so it was quite a hectic schedule. The show was only an hour long, though, so we were doing two each evening. We then met Kenny and Mark, who are our producers, and they said, well, look, if you could write a second act for this show, we could take it on a tour. And there had been another show that had been cancelled, and so a few venues needed something to go in at short notice, and they said, well, would you like to do that? And we said, absolutely. So we then went on a tour with the show and its new two-act version. And then that then came into the West End. And we thought initially it would just come into the West End just for a few weeks. But they offered us, I think, 24 weeks initially. And we said, wow, it'd be amazing if we sort of last that long. But then we've extended and kept going since then. The show's going out on a new UK tour this year. And obviously we've opened on Broadway this season.
How does your improvisation background contribute to the way that you write the shows? When you get together to make a script to do the same show over and over again, as you have with this one and a few others since?
I think we write and create theatre using the kind of principles of improv as a kind of way to approach everything. So the biggest thing is saying yes and kind of building on other people's ideas. So I think we really try and do that in the writing room. But usually once the script's written, we then take it to kind of the core team Mischief. And we throw those ideas around, and sometimes they say, no, this isn't that funny. But usually people say yes, and we kind of build the work from there, and I think that keeps it fun. So that's a huge part. I think if we hadn't done improv, then, you know, hadn't experienced improv, then we probably wouldn't be here.
The play within a play is called The Murder at Haversham Manor. Did you write that whole play before you exploded it?
No, we kind of wrote the two together. Mm. So as we wrote it, we came up with sort of an outline at the very beginning, and that sort of changed and evolved. And we've done other shows. Like we've done a thing called Peter Pan Goes Wrong. So that's using an existing story. That's actually, I think, harder to write because you're sort of working within parameters. Whereas with The Murder at Haversham Manor, the play within the play that goes wrong, you can make that whatever you want it to be, and you can twist and turn that, you know, to serve the sort of comic purposes of the show.
No, if someone has a new joke, you can just be like, oh, well, yes, this character, you know, they didn't know about the murder. And, like, before they did, but now they don't, and that's all fine. Whereas, yeah, if you've got Peter Pan or something like that, you can't really deviate or change too much. So you're really locked in. So if you have a great joke, but it doesn't quite fit in that narrative, it can be really frustrating. Whereas this, it's very liberating because if you hit a bit of a wall, you can literally just smash the wall down and kind of build a new corridor. And so that's really fun.
How did J.J. Abrams become one of your Broadway producers?
So he came to see the show in London. He was filming Star Wars over there, and he had the night off, and he wanted to see a show, and he looked up what was on, and he saw us and came to come and see it. And we met him afterwards, and he sort of said he really enjoyed it, and he said, if you ever want to take the show to Broadway, let me know if I can help. And we said, well, we'd like that very much, and Kenny Mark, our producer, got in touch with him. He put us in touch with Kevin McCollum, who's lead producing the Broadway version, and that's kind of how it began. And he's been great. He's been very involved and around a lot, and a delight to work with. So it's been great.
When he first appeared, because obviously just J.J. Abrams and a kind of British farce that began in the kind of smallest way imaginable. I mean, I can see on your notes you've put J.J. Abrams .? And I think that you know.
Well, my notes are very basic.
But I think that's kind of how we felt. And, you know, when he said, oh, I'll help you, we were like, oh, wow, that's incredible. But he has been so involved. He's not just kind of been this name or this guy who can open doors. He's been in rehearsal. He's been offering opinions. But he's really sensitive. He's really kind of got the vibe of the company really, really quickly. He's come up with some fantastic ideas. It's been really, really fun. He's just been great.
I'm speaking with Henry Lewis and Jonathan Sayre, stars and co-creators of The Play That Goes Wrong, now running on Broadway at the Lyceum Theatre.
With the success in London, before Mr. Abrams approached you and said, if you want to go to Broadway, was the idea of coming to New York and doing a show a goal?
I think once we'd established the show on the West End, yeah, I think we really did want to bring it to Broadway. I think we sort of maybe felt that was the last step along the long journey that the show sort of come on. So yes, absolutely. You know, I think we were really keen to. But it's sort of tougher on Broadway. I think it's a bit more brutal, and I think shows close a lot faster than they do on the West End. And it's a much bigger theatre, so it's all a bit more scary. So it's wonderful to be here.
So what else did you have to learn? What has been surprising or scary or strange as you've come across the ocean to do the show?
I think what is interesting is I think just as a culture, people shoot from the hip a little more here. And I think added to the fact that just things cost a huge amount more here. So that I think in this city, you really are winning or you're losing, and you can really feel that. So it's very hard to know that and have that kind of pressure. But then just make sure you're creating and fostering a creative environment, and everyone's relaxing and looking at the work kind of in a sensible manner, and making sure we get where we want to go. The wonderful thing has been, I think, people really celebrate stuff out here. We've got a wonderful producing team, and I think who are very, very positive and great at building the show up. But then also the audiences are fantastic. I think from the off, people are really ready to laugh. I think that is the main difference, that you start and you can sense there's just like everything in this city is such an event. Even like getting a coffee is kind of done in such a kind of big, massive way. So like a piece of theatre is huge. So you can that really helps. And this show is all about kind of failing to deal with expectation. And Broadway is all about expectation. So I think there's a really nice kind of synergy there where this show, I think it really, really thrives on Broadway, I think.
Is the audience so far very different here than in London?
I think in some ways, yes. In some ways, no. I think audiences here are incredibly supportive right from the beginning, I think. Maybe whereas in the UK, perhaps, they maybe become supportive more over time. I think, no, everyone here is sort of really, really right from the word go. You're getting the laughs are really big, whereas maybe back home it's sort of, there's more of a warm-up period, perhaps.
Before we came out here, our producer Kevin said people in New York and on Broadway like heroes, and we were really confuddled by that statement. We were, and kind of took it with a pinch of salt, and I don't really understand what that means. And this show is very much about people failing, like it's about people getting it wrong. And I think the thing that I've realised is people here, they're not just supportive of like the work and us as actors, that they're supportive of the characters. So if a character fails, in Britain, I think people really enjoy just pointing and laughing and the meanness of it. Whereas here, people will try and like cheer that character up. There's a lot more whooping and encouragement, which is great again. But that's kind of changed it a little bit. It's not a fourth wall show, so if the audience do something, we are bound to kind of hear that and respond to it. And that's interesting because in England, it's just about people laughing at you, and that can be quite relentless. Whereas here, they're laughing at you, but then there's almost like, we shouldn't laugh at that because that guy's struggling, and it's a huge whoop of encouragement, which is good. It gives the show a more kind of, I don't know, makes it a bit more of a roller coaster, which is fun.
I sometimes sit in audiences and you know, listen to the people around you. I, you know, go in usually knowing quite a lot about the show because I don't live in New York, so I've had to, you know, pick and choose what I can see and learn a bit about it. I know, like, not more than anybody, certainly, but more than potentially an average theater goer. And people in New York just go to the theater sometimes, and they sit down and they're like, what am I seeing? Have you encountered anybody in the audience that you could tell didn't know before it started that it was going to be such a train wreck, that they were like surprised that people were getting hurt so much or everything was falling down?
Yes, I think we've definitely had that. I think more towards the beginning I think every new... It's been interesting coming here, actually, because at the beginning of every new run, like any show, we find our audience, I think, and you find people whose humour it is. And I think that that happened at the very beginning, interestingly, as well, where we had people who sort of came and didn't quite understand that it was supposed to be going wrong. Some people were confused by that. Some people thought it was sort of just genuinely terrible and a disaster, and they were really embarrassed and kind of... And so not many people, most people got it, fortunately, but...
It's also called The Play That Goes Wrong, and people read it and they're like...
managed to avoid or ignore quite a lot of clues that it's supposed to go wrong, but yeah, people do... People have been there.
Your whole original cast is here now.
Yeah.
For the New York show. But you've seen other people do it. You've originated the roles, but you've seen other people do it. What is that like?
It's amazing. It's great. And there's always sort of new little things that are found, and the characters are always slightly different, which is really nice to see. It's amazing. It's really, really nice to see other people take on the roles. We've got 4 understudies on the show as well, who are all fantastic, and it's really nice to see their take on the roles as well. And it's great, and it sort of refreshes it. I think so much of the show is about, you know, being in the moment and spontaneously responding to things that happen, and the way that people deal with problems under the pressure of an audience. And I think that's something that needs to stay very fresh and feel very real and accidental in order to work. And so actually I think recasting the show regularly, as we do in London, keeps that fresh, and that's really, really worthwhile.
The company has really been built on the idea of kind of empowering actors and creatives. And I think when we got to a recasting place, you really want to keep that alive, because I think the reason why this show is really, really funny is because everyone owns the characters in such a particular way. And you really want to make sure that when new casts come in, they have that same sense of ownership, of just like, oh, really, this character just feels like an extension of me, and I feel so kind of at peace when I'm doing this role. And I think part of that means you have to give people that bit of creative scope to try new avenues and do slightly different things with material. But as Henry says, that means every time you watch the show, you really see it from a different perspective, and you see it from in a new way. And it's quite nice because, particularly in England, where if the tour is near the London production, then people can pop in and watch other shows and stuff, and then you see little bits of kind of material being borrowed from another person and be like, well, that's quite a fun way of approaching that moment. Oh, maybe I'll just try that. And that's quite fun. And I think, I don't know, like all the guys who are playing Dennis at the moment, like we have a little Dennis kind of like chat on Facebook, and we'll talk about that moment. And stuff like that is really nice because, you know, you can find ways of being funny. That's really nice.
Our guests are Henry Lewis and Jonathan Sayre, stars and co-creators of The Play That Goes Wrong, now running on Broadway. The Play That Goes Wrong is also running on the West End in London and has been produced all over the world, where each production is translated and changed to embrace the local culture.
So the French one is quite different in style, I suppose. It's difficult to describe. It sort of just feels a bit more French, I suppose.
Yeah. Whenever someone says what's it like, I'm just like, it's very French. I don't quite know what that means, but it is very French.
More French farce, I suppose. It feels maybe slightly more heightened, probably, than the English language ones. And the Hungarian one has quite a kind of intense Eastern European energy about it, which is nice. Really, I think really works for it. The German one, which I've only seen footage of, looks very, very sort of serious,
organized,
kind of austere, and that is great. I think that's really works for it. And I think, I don't know, I mean, I think probably broadly speaking, the cultures where there is naturally a more sort of serious tone, which I suppose I think, you know, the British would be included in that. I think it works really well.
The funniest thing is it's always fun to see a very serious man fall over. You know, like, everyone delights in seeing people who take themselves very seriously come undone. So, yeah, when the show is very, very serious, I think that's a big part of rehearsing it, wherever you go, really, just trying to get people. I think whenever I watch the shows in any country, in any run, be that in England or Budapest or wherever, we always go away giving the same note of just like, remember, it's not a comedy. It's a really serious piece that happens to go wrong, that happens to make people laugh. But the way that you have to approach it when you're in it is this is just a serious piece. It's a tragedy. For those guys, it is the worst night of their life. And if that pain's not really, really present, then the show becomes less and less funny. We did an understudy run the other day, and our two wonderful American covers, Jonathan and Amelia, did the run with us on stage, and they're fantastic. So that's they're the first two American performers, I believe, to do the show.
Yes.
Do they have to do British accents to fit the production that's happening here?
So when they're in characters in Murder at Havisham Manor, yes. But for example, when Amelia plays Annie, the stage manager, she's playing that in an American accent.
When you go see the show in other countries, are the people, the cast and the people putting it up, very excited that you're there? Are you like sort of celebrities in there to them? You know, they're doing your work that you created and then there you are.
I think everyone's always been excited to meet us and to talk to us about it and sort of find out what it's been like for us doing it and sort of share some of the interesting things about the show and the challenges of it. And that's been interesting. And it's been interesting to see lots of different people starting completely different ways on the project, discover similar joys and challenges within it.
Yeah, totally. It's amazing to speak to people who are across the world and hear that they've had the same problem with the same comedic beat, or like have sustained the same repetitive stress injury. My voice is breaking there, but we've sustained the same injury. That's thoroughly bizarre. But no, it's lovely. It's amazing to go out to a new country and see this thing that you wrote with your friends in a tiny little flat that was falling apart that you did with your friends, and you built a set with your friends and you costumed it with your friends and see it in these other countries. So it's nice, yeah. It's always nice to meet the person who plays the same role as you. I find that's a big point of excitement.
The Play That Goes Wrong is running on Broadway at the Lyceum Theatre in New York City. Our guests have been Henry Lewis and Jonathan Sayre. BroadwayGoesWrong.com for more information, and that link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.